have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. The message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Look and live.
Look and live.
My brother, live.
Look and live. Look to Jesus. No one live as no one live. This recorded.
Greetings. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and I'm your host for these Bible study podcasts. This is episode number 5 of a 9-part series of presentations entitled God's Precious Word. These studies have been adapted from the booklet entitled Key Principles of Bible Study, which is available for download directly from our podcast page. This page can be found at biblestudy.asbzone.com. That's biblestudy.asbzone.com. These 9 presentations cover primary truths about God and His Word, along with His purpose in providing us with the Holy Scriptures. Our theme verse for this series is Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Today's presentation is entitled The Patience and Comfort of the Scriptures. Before we begin our study, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We want to thank you for the privilege of being able to conduct these studies across the internet, record them. And we ask you for your Holy Spirit that we'll have wisdom and understanding and rightly divide your word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Romans 15, verse 4 says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It is God's desire to grant us hope and encouragement for this journey that we call the Christian life. So here are our key questions that we're going to be dealing with in this study today. What kind of hope does God offer? That's one question. In what ways do the Scriptures comfort us? How is patience essential for the Christian experience? Those are the questions we're going to seek to answer today, and let's see what story we have to cover. Our story, found in Luke 8, verses 40 through 48, is about the woman who had the issue of blood, 12 years. A woman having an issue of blood for 12 years. She's healed by Jesus. And she's healed by him because she reached out and touched the hem of his garment as he was passing by on his way to perform a separate miracle. This is one of the more celebrated stories in the Bible. But in the event that you don't know, there's a woman, she had spent all of her money on doctors trying to make her well. She had 12 years that she was having some sort of an issue where blood was constantly being drained from her. She was losing blood very regularly, and it was problematic. And she made up her mind at some point that she was going to reach Jesus. And Jesus is on his way to perform a miracle, and he comes by where she is, and she secretly attempts to to reach out and touch him. And she does touch him. She does touch him. And she's healed. And Jesus says, Who touched me? And of course, the disciples are confused because there's a crowd of people around Jesus. And they're like, What kind of a question is that? What do you mean, who touched you? And he says, No, this is not that kind of touch. I know that I was touched because virtue came out from me. Right? This is interesting. Someone here derived a benefit from Christ without Christ's permission, as it were. Right? This is not a case where the person comes and says, I have a problem. Can you heal me? Jesus says, sure. Here's, you know, based on your faith. This person took healing from Jesus, essentially. Okay? And we're gonna see about this story, and we're gonna see what it means to have patience and comfort of the scriptures. What's the relationship? So let's look at verse 43 and 44. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Okay? So he told her, because she was nervous when he made it clear that he realized something had happened. She could not be exposed. She could not be hidden. And she was a little bit timid. I mean, how would you feel having what looks like stolen a blessing from Jesus? But Jesus comforted her and let her realize that this was fine. It was her faith that had healed her. And that was, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So she clearly was pleasing God. Comfort is important. And we have a verse for that. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. So comfort, also called consolation in the Bible, is a valid part of Christianity. God wants us to be comforted. Isaiah 40 verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Right? This is, the Christian experience is not easy. We're not going to enter the kingdom without tribulation. In the world you'll have tribulation. Jesus says, but be of good cheer, be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. So it's not going to be easy, but the Lord doesn't want us to be anxious. So why should we be comforted, or why do we need to be comforted? Why should we comfort others? 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Right? God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God comforts us so we can comfort others. That's the point. Why does God comfort us? So we can comfort others. God works on a very distributed system. We're going to look at a quote from Christ's Object Lessons. It says this, We should speak of Christ to those who know him not. We should do as Christ did. Wherever he was, in the synagogue, by the wayside, in the boat thrust out a little from the land, at the Pharisee's feast, or the table of the publican, he spoke to men of the things pertaining to the higher life. The things of nature, the events of daily life were bound up by him with the words of truth. The hearts of his hearers were drawn to him, for he had healed their sick and comforted their sorrowing ones, and had taken their children in his arms and blessed them. So it should be with us. Wherever we are, we should watch for opportunities of speaking to others of the Savior. If we follow Christ's example in doing good, hearts will open to us as they did to him. Not abruptly, but with tact born of divine love, we can tell them of him who is the chiefest among 10,000 and the one altogether lovely. From Song of Solomon 5:10-16. This is the very highest work in which we can employ the talent of speech. It was given to us that we might present Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. And that's Christ Object Lessons, pages 338 and 339. Okay, so we've spoken about comfort. We're going to speak a little bit about hope. Psalm 16, 8 and 9 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. In other words, in the presence of God, and because of that presence, we can rest in hope. Our source of hope, Psalm 33:18 says, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. God is our source of hope and strength, and for that matter, comfort. Right? God is our source of hope. Psalm 31:24, Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We are instructed to be of good courage if our hope is in God. We have no need to be depressed, as Psalm 43:5 tells us. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We have no need to be depressed because God is our health. We have hope because of mercy. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Psalm 130, verse 7. Right? The great mercy of God gives us hope. And there are a few verses that say that. Patience and hope. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Okay, so waiting, patience, and hope go together. Patience grows as we hope in the Lord. As our experience with God increases, we recognize that he is faithful and our hope increases. And as our hope increases, we get better at patience. James 1, 3 and 4 says, Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience is connected not only to hope, but to faith. See the relationship? Patience is also connected to obedience. Hebrews 10:36 says, For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. All right? When we do God's will, we need to trust in his mercy. So we have need of patience so that after we have obeyed, we will receive the promise. And we need to be patient all the way to the end. There are a few verses that talk about this. But James 5:11 is one that we will look at. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We need to be patient and endure to the end. Important observation. This verse says, Ye have heard of the patience of Job and ye've seen the end of the Lord. The end of the Lord here does not mean the Lord going away or finishing. It means the result of what the Lord will do. You have seen the end of being patient, of waiting. Right? It does not mean the end of the Lord. Similar to the verse that talks about the law, the righteousness of the law, right, being an end of the righteousness. It's not the finishing up or the going away of the law, just like this is not the going away of the Lord. This is talking about the final result. Patient to the end. Patience is a key trait. Revelation 14:12 says, Here is the patience of the saints, also translated as endurance. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. All right. Endurance of the saints, keeping the commandments of God, needs to be done until the end. Having the faith of Jesus needs to be done until the end. Here's the patience of the saints. Those that are ready for God's coming will be patient. They'll be enduring. From Christian education comes the following quote. Jesus' manner of teaching was beautiful and attractive, and it was ever characterized by simplicity. He unfolded the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven through the use of figures and symbols with which his hearers were familiar, and the common people heard him gladly, for they could comprehend his words. There were no high-sounding words used, to understand which it was necessary to consult a dictionary. He illustrated the glories of the kingdom of God by the use of the experiences and occurrences of earth. In compassionate love and tenderness, he cheered and comforted and instructed all who heard him, for grace was poured upon his lips that he might convey to men in the most attractive way the treasures of truth. This is the manner in which he would have us present his truth to others. It's Christian Education, pages 126 and 127. Okay, that's how Jesus teaches. That's how Jesus taught. That's how we are to teach. He used words that were easy to understand. He used situations from people's lives, their daily lives. The parables he spoke of appealed to the people, and they were familiar with them. So you see, for instance, when he gives the parable about the lost sheep, followed by the story of the lost lamb, followed by the prodigal son, otherwise known as the lost boy, he gave those three stories back to back. Everyone in the audience could resonate with at least one of those stories. Everyone in the audience knew a shepherd or was a shepherd and understood the issue about sheep. Everyone in that story may have known someone, a woman that had a coin. If they didn't, they may have known of a prodigal son or a prodigal child or a prodigal cousin or brother. In some way, shape, or form, those stories resonated. If one of them didn't get you, one of the other ones would. And so Jesus taught in a way that was very beneficial to those around him. He didn't make everything mysterious and complicated. He made it possible for men, women, boys, and girls to understand his teaching. Okay, so back to our story. We're back to the woman. She was suffering for over a decade without any relief from doctors and without any, and with a great loss of funds, right? Luke points out that she had lost pretty much all her living. And so no medicine, no relief. And she decides to seek Jesus directly. Now, what should also be remembered is that for the better portion of her illness, Jesus' ministry doesn't exist, right? Jesus only ministered for 3.5 years. She was suffering for 12. She runs into him at some point of his ministry. But she hears about him. She learns. She comes to him. And she derives immediate physical comfort. But more importantly, you know, because she tried to get in and out quietly, when it became clear that she could not, she came to him trembling, and yet he comforted her and told her, "Be of good cheer. Your faith had made you whole." Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." It is God's desire to grant us hope and encouragement for our journey. Let's see if our questions were answered. What kind of hope does God offer? God offers us hope in his love, his mercy, his promises, his faithfulness, his goodness. He offers us strength to endure what we have to face, and the promise of a blessed tomorrow with him. He has not promised that it will be easy, but he has promised, he has given us a a view of all of the things that will come, and he's given us the promise that we can be overcomers. In what ways do the scriptures comfort us? The scriptures teach us that God can be trusted, that God has every situation under control, that we do not need to worry, that the answers to all of our problems is found in God, and that he desires the best for us. And how is patience essential for the Christian experience? Patience is the demonstration that we are not worried about what God is taking care of. Our patience shows that we trust God. Our anxiety is an indication that we are unbelievers, right? Think about all of the times that the disciples were nervous and scared and called out for help, and Jesus helped them, but he always asked them, why so little faith? Anxiety exposes a lack of faith. Patience exposes trust in God. When we're patient, it shows the world that we really trust God like we claim we do. So our appeal. Do you understand how the Bible brings you comfort and hope? Do you resolve to put your trust in God and his word and also help to comfort others? Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thanks for taking the time to study with us today. We encourage you to prayerfully review this presentation along with the study notes and the companion download. Let us please have a word of prayer to close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the promise that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of it from you. We thank you for the scriptures which give us comfort and hope and the faith to exercise that will lead us to patience. We ask you, Lord, that you'll please be with us and help us that we will rightly divide your word of truth as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for listening in, and if you have any questions, be sure to send them to BibleQuestions@ASBZone.com, and we will do our best, by God's grace, to provide you with biblical answers to those questions. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you study his word.
It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Look and live,
look and live,
my brother, live.
Look and live, look to Jesus, no one lives, no one lives. It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.